Lord, we ask that only what you would have spoken be spoken, only what you would have heard be heard. And may the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So, this Bible has six of these little tassels that help me to mark my place and how many scriptures, and I ran out of tassels four tassels ago. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And we're going to speak again what was read this morning, the first reading. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'Who is his name? What is his name?' Who shall I say that you are?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" This has been talked about a lot. This is the first time that we know of anywhere in the ancient world ever that God identifies himself simply by saying, "I exist. I am. Tell them I am sent you." Every other religion at the time, they believed in these various gods, right? But you get the impression here, that there was doubt then in the existence of anything that could be something as big and holy as God. Because even the gods of the time were consistently fighting with each other, and the hierarchies were shifting and rocking back and forth. But the truth of the matter was, is that the God of Israel, the I Am, was the only God. It's the first time that this has been talked about. Now, somebody else talks about this and identifies himself as the I Am in John chapter 8, beginning with verse 56. Jesus is speaking here to the Pharisees and says, "Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' And Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am.' So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." See, the Pharisees had absolutely no doubt on what Jesus was saying here. In modern times, we go back and second guess. I've heard people say, my whole life, I've heard people argue against Jesus being the Messiah, or that Jesus never really claimed to be. And they'll say, nowhere in the Bible did Jesus say he was God. Incorrect. Because the Pharisees knew exactly what he was saying here, and they wanted to kill him for it. Jesus here saying that he is the I Am. But he goes further. I don't know if anybody realizes this or not, But in John, in the book of John, there's this mention of Jesus saying, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. But there are seven places in the book of John where Jesus says, I am, and then describes himself, and therefore describes God. We're gonna look at all seven of those briefly. Beginning with John, you don't have to turn all this. You write these down because you can go back and find them. Otherwise, you're going to be spinning through pages a lot. John 6, starting with verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. So in this place, Jesus says in John 6, I am the bread of life. The next place that he talks about is John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So he is bread and he is light. John chapter 10, verse 1, beginning with verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came to have life and have it abundantly. So he's bread, he's light, and he's the door, the gate. And continuing with verse 11 of John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. So he is bread, he is light, he's the gate, and he's the good shepherd. And in John 11, beginning with verse 17, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. So he says, I am bread, I am light, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life. And in John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, in John 15, starting with verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from the vine, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And then he closes it saying, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So in John, Jesus gives the definition seven times of what I am means. I am the bread of life. I am the light. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. So in every single one of these references where Jesus gives, one the common theme that you see over and over and over is life. There is only life in the presence of God. In the presence of I am, there is only life. And in Exodus, that was where the escape was. That was where the salvation was. That was where life was for the people of God. God introduces himself as the I am, and then Jesus explains what I am means and shows everybody what God looks like. The Old Testament, I saw an interview recently where somebody was, a secular person, somebody was talking about the entire Old Testament can be seen as a series of revelations of what God is. He's the creator, etc. He gives life. All of the things that God does throughout the entire Old Testament, this person was saying, it's interesting because you can see mankind coming to this understanding of God identifying himself through these documents, through these pages that are handed down miraculously, right? From our perspective, we would say something similar but more complete. From our perspective, we would say the entire Old Testament points to Jesus because Jesus points to who God is. So what? What does that mean for us? Does that mean that we simply believe and then we're okay? Or does that mean that we have something that we're required to do? Surprise, surprise. We're supposed to do some stuff. In John chapter 15, verse 12 again, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Now, Paul, in today's epistle reading, in Romans 12, beginning with verse 9, Paul is telling the church at Rome the following about love. "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord, rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." In the past few weeks, overcome is a theme that has come up several times. And the first one that comes to mind is God names Jacob Israel because he has overcome God, but he has wrestled with God and with man and has overcome. Remember? And then we have the woman whose daughter, last week, the woman whose daughter has an unclean spirit, right? And Jesus comes and says, it's not right to throw bread to the dogs. It's very an insulting thing. This is a Samaritan, etc. But Jesus gives her the objections to why she shouldn't get the gifts that the children of God gets, right? And the woman agrees and then says her faith, by her faith says, if you will heal him, or you will heal her, she will be healed. And Jesus, astounded at her faith, says, let it be done for you. So she, this woman, overcomes the objections of Jesus with her faith. And now we're talking about overcoming evil. There has probably never been a time on this world, on this earth, where evil was more brazen, open, brazen, accepted, applauded. And when you look at the way the world looks and you see the vast landscape, when you go out and about and you just run into people in general, there is just this despondency, anger, rage, hopelessness, sadness, loneliness everywhere. Now, those things don't have any place in the kingdom of God because those things are not godly. That doesn't mean that we don't, as people, experience those things. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that in the kingdom of God, evil is overcome with good. Paul talks about evil being overcome with good. Good how? Good how? Back to Romans. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Watch those comments on social media. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Note, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A number of years ago, I was outside at night and I was praying, and I was airing my grievances against someone to God. Now, I think that's okay to do because David did it. And so, you know, I was airing my grievances and I was laying out my case just like it was a prosecution. They did this and 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 they did this. And I laid it all out. It took me a while. I was thorough. And as soon as I ended it with, I'm justified. I ended it with, I'm justified in being angry. I'm justified here. I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm justified. And the answer that I got back instantly and very clearly was, yes, you are. You are justified. But what judgments are justified against you? And my son died for those. And he died for theirs. So who are you to keep this offense? Some offenses are hard to let go of, y'all. But we have to let them go. Because the only way that we overcome evil is with good. The Bible is very clear. Scripture is very clear on what that looks like. It doesn't look like what we think it's supposed to look like. I wish it was John Wick. And that's how we overcome evil. But that ain't true. That is not how it works. We turn the other cheek. We expose our back to the lash. We die for our brother. That's who we are supposed to be, because his ways are not our ways. And if we follow him, we need to be worthy of his name. He says who he is, and then he tells us what to do with that information. Amen? So in this place, let us stand for just a second. I'm going to pray over you before we move on to the prayers of the people. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that you would continuously remind me and us, all of us, Lord, daily, what it is that we need to lay down and what it is that we need to pick up. Who it is that we need to lay down our offenses against. Help us to pick up our own crosses and follow you, living by your example. Guide us and lead us, and bring those people to us that you would have us bless. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.